Let's turn this morning to 2 Chronicles. We're going to take a little time and just encourage our hearts in the Word of God and in His great promises to go before us and make a way where there is no way. Aren't you thankful for that? To be able to stand and on our behalf show His power and His might that was established through the great covenant of Abraham and fulfilled in Jesus that makes Him our God, our Savior, our Father, our Deliverer. Amen? And along with that goes all of the promises and the benefits that the Scripture says He will daily load us with. We're living in an hour of just absolute confusion. I thought the list that John read the other night was very enlightening. And to show where we are in our thinking in America today, the philosophical thoughts that show that we are no longer just a post-Christian nation, we are an anti-Christian nation. And Jesus is just being tolerated in our society for this moment. Until license is given, and that license then will allow in this nation what has been allowed from the establishment of the church, open season on Christians. We know today that in our society that just like Rome having burned was blamed upon the Christians, the confusion and turmoil and apparent cultural clashes in America are being pointed to as originating from Christian dogmatism. And if fundamental Christians would just back off, we would be at peace in our society. But the conflict is coming because of these Christian standards. It's almost like that, I almost used a real harsh term for the woman senator from Hawaii who the other day stood and made her proclamation publicly to a bunch of men gathered in this debate that's been going on. And said, you men just need to shut your mouths and get with the program. And so here's one of the 100 senators that represents this nation and what this nation is supposedly standing for, saying what a number of people believe in their hearts. Now, you can get angry with her. Or you can apply to her the same thing we apply to Trump. The one thing I like about Trump, and I don't like everything about Trump, the dude says what he's thinking, man. I like people like that. And Mrs. Yahoo, I don't know her name, so we'll just give her a kind one, at least is saying what she believes. America is still free, and we as Christians need to shout from the housetops what we believe, praise God. Amen? And this hatred against Christianity will continue to rise. It will become irrational. You will not be treated fairly. You will be discriminated against. You will be murdered. Your own children will be those that turn you in. This is all Bible. professed Christians, let's use a term, non-fundamentalists, and even some that consider themselves fundamentalists, will kill you and believe they're doing God's service. Is that what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days? Amen. And so we're facing that. So now what are we going to do to prepare ourselves to stand in that kind of an environment? We've had it so easy. We've had it so good. Thank God for the opportunity that this country has afforded in allowing the liberties to proclaim the gospel like we've had these couple of hundred years. I think that's something that should ring in our ears. We are a baby nation. A couple of hundred years. Beloved, history, though they're trying to revise it totally, tells us that every nation that finds themselves in the position that this nation is in at this moment is now in rubbles. And I agree, as I said earlier in one of the teachings, I agree with Mrs. Billy Graham, who made a statement one day that if God does not bring judgment upon the United States of America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We are a dying nation. We are an anti-Christian nation. And we need to come to grips with reality and prepare ourselves and the upcoming generations for the hour that's coming upon them and help them to get their eyes off of the natural and begin to look into the kingdom of God, see that city that's not built with hands, have their allegiance there, praise God. And not be looking to thinking that we have some kind of legal rights that will sustain us in our liberties to preach. But whether it's legal, not legal, whether we just had a new Supreme Court justice appointed, in light of all of the chaos, I did something I've never done. I don't even know how I happened to get there. I didn't even know it was on. I think I was looking for a baseball game, and in flipping through the channels hit, C-SPAN? I didn't even know there was a C-SPAN. And hit C-SPAN, and they were getting ready to cast the vote on the Supreme Court justice. So I thought, well, I've never seen that before. I'll watch this thing. So I started watching it, and as they began to vote, women started screaming at the top of their lungs and had to get drug out of the place. And every 5 minutes, some woman would go off screaming. You don't represent me! When this lady was screaming, I thought, well, that's a problem in this country today. They're ignorant. Yes, they do represent him. You. You voted. That dude came and represented you. That's how America operates. If you don't like his vote, don't vote for him again. And so they're dragging all these yahoos out of there and they finally get the vote taken care of. And we get this new justice voted in. And I thought, what a powerful role. Third greatest power in America. And I'm not talking about the executive or the legislative branches. I'm talking about homeowners. And what's that thing you guys got to deal with at work? HR. And what we've got to see is that we're coming into this environment where you're not going to be able to look anywhere for your rights, because they will no longer exist. They may be on the books, But law does not rule in this nation any longer. So like Paul was able to plea his Roman citizenship, the time is coming before long that we will no longer have that privilege that Paul had. And I just trust that God will make that real to some of us here that don't believe it, so that we can begin to trust in God. We say we do, but our trust is in too many natural, carnal resources and fathers wanting to free us into that place of fully trusting Him. Amen? What a great opportunity is waiting for you and I to be able to live our lives once and for all in true faith, praise God. And not looking to the broken reed of America, our resources, our insurances, our little nest eggs, and be able to have the privilege of walking by faith and not by sight. For the just shall live and walk by faith, praise God. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, and I just want us to have that environment so that as we're sharing these things, you'll begin to understand, if you don't already understand it or don't already believe it, that as these times come upon us, we shouldn't be looking to this with fear or trepidation. We need to be looking at it for what it is, reality, but knowing that we have a God who can sustain us in the midst of it. Amen? A God who has promised us victory until the very day of our catching away, and that's coming soon. Can you say praise God for that? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Those that criticize pre-tribulation rapture say, you know, you pre-tribulation rapture people, you're just escapist in your mind. I hope to tell you I am. The Bible says we will be counted worthy to escape that day of perdition that's coming upon the earth, praise God. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon we're going to see the King. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. People get ready. Amen. And so we're purifying our hearts for the coming of the Lord, and we have that promise that we would not be tempted past that we're able. And he says, unless this time were shortened, the very elect would not be able to stand the persecution that's coming from Antichrist, that satanic attack. No one's going to be able to stand. So that day is shortened and we're caught out of here. Praise God. And the only ones that are going to make it from that time on are the ones that Jesus seals out of the 144,000. He's going to sustain the prophets until their death and the rejoicing in the streets that the word of God in their minds has been quieted. But angels are going to fly back and forth in the heavens proclaiming the gospel so that every ear will hear, praise God. And no man, Romans says, will be without excuse. This could start this week, praise God. This could start today, hallelujah. Where's our hope? Where are we living? What are our children being taught? How much of this world is creeping into the minds of our little ones that we allow through secularism, through games and cartoons and you name it, whatever else it is. We need to preserve our children's minds. We need to brainwash them with the gospel. They don't need to know what the world knows. You know, we know that the scripture, the children of covenant got polluted so that they spoke half the language of the Babylonians and half their own language. Tragically, we have a number of our young people that are involved in that. We need to clean their minds up. Amen. I'm so thankful, and I've shared this story before, but you know, we hear the different stories, and our children's first words, you know, and some of them were mama and some were daddy. And you would think in my case, it would be like ice cream, but it wasn't. Kimberly's first word that she ever spoke was three syllables, hallelujah. Isn't it great to have your child's first word be hallelujah? Hallelujah. And part of the reason is she was a little girl, a little tiny baby growing up when the most popular chorus back then was hallelujah. I have no idea how many hours she heard that. What you put in is what comes out, man. What are we putting into our minds, into our children's minds in this hour? What is our treasure? Where is our hope? And we find that the scripture is very clear on these great promises. Turn over to Exodus 14. Just keep your finger there and we're coming right back to Chronicles. But in Exodus 14, here's the message that the Holy Spirit has to us at this hour. God heard the cry of His people in captivity. Amen? And I want you to know something. God hears your cry this morning. If it's a physical ailment, if it's mental pressure from satanic powers and you're dealing with anxieties and fears and depression, if you're under the burden of children who have defected and are in eternal jeopardy and the weight that that brings with it, let me remind you that in the midst of this war, in the midst of the captivity of us having to continue in this thing called life, God hears your prayer and will deliver you, praise God. It's His promise. His ears are open to the cry of the righteous, hallelujah. A broken and contrite heart, He will never turn away. And as we come to Him with brokenness and contrition, many of us need that contrition. We need to be broken with the condition of our lives, our hearts, our thought processes, these things that are idols that are distracting us. We need to be broken and come to God and fall before Him and cry out in repentance, God, forgive me, restore me back to that time of innocence and trust and reliance in You alone. And so as we see Him beginning to lead Egypt out, to lead Israel out of the captivity of Egypt, and God comes and establishes Himself in their minds in this 14th chapter, let it sink in. Let it become a pillar, a foundation of truth to you this morning. That 14th verse. Stand still. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Amen? Stop talking about how bad it is. Stop talking about the circumstances. Just like God, when He had the children of Israel walking around the walls of Jericho, He said, I just want you to be silent. Don't we have a tendency to talk too much about the negative things? About what might happen. Dear Lord, we're not only borrowing tomorrow, we're borrowing into 2025. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Today is the day of our salvation. Hallelujah. And you shall hold your peace. Don't say anything about your circumstances, but what God's saying about it. Amen. That's faith. Faith that calls things that are not as though they were. Praise God. Faith is the victory. And so he says, I just want you to stand still. I want you to do this that is so necessary. He said, I want you to understand I am going to do the fighting. I don't know what your circumstances are this morning. I know some of them. You don't have the ability to deliver yourself. You know, people mean well, but they try to come up and say, just stop worrying. Yeah, that's easy to say, isn't it? We know what weariness is or worry is. It's just a constant trickling stream of fear. The Lord said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. How do you deal with that? You can't just stop worrying. You need to saturate yourself with the Word of God and start saying what God says. Amen? And worry will then flee. There will be no place for worry or anxiety in your life. As we heard already quoted this morning, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. You want to get rid of worry? Start being thankful and praising God. Hallelujah. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer. You can't pray and worry at the same time. You can't praise and worry at the same time. You say, well, I think I do. No, you're just worrying between the praises. So as we constantly just worship Him and honor Him, and He said, praise God, that He will fight for us. What a blessing. Going back to Chronicles, and we want to look at a couple of different aspects here. And in Chronicles chapter 16, we're looking at the great King Asa and how God had mightily used him and blessed him. He was a man of faith. He was a man of holiness in pursuing God. He had one of the greatest track records of the kings. But he didn't finish real strong. And that's part of what I want to talk about this morning. We're in a race and we're all running, Paul says, but we've got to run it lawfully. And then Paul goes on in Timothy and says, not only do we have to run this race lawfully, now, what is the lawful way to run this race? Well, it has to be run by faith. It has to be run in holiness. It has to be run in the fear of the Lord and delighting in His commandments and living according to His statutes. But Paul makes a very strong statement, which is very obvious, but he goes on and he makes this comment to us that he says, and you got to finish it. Amen. And you know, one thing I think we need to be sobered up with this morning, many of us, and we've been talking about the problem that we face, so many of us, of thinking too highly of ourselves. Can I remind every one of us here this morning, we've not finished yet? Now, if Paul said, I want to keep this flesh under, I need to keep before all things the discipline of my mind, of my body, lest having preached to others, I be cast away. Paul knew the urgency of finishing the race, the preparation to have sufficient to finish. The wise man takes account, doesn't he, as to whether or not he can win the war or whether he can fill the building project. Can I ask you something this morning? Do you have enough fuel in your tank to finish this thing? Are we ready for what's ahead? Are we preparing ourselves for this hour? You said, Pastor, we just read that the Lord's going to fight for us. That doesn't mean you get to lay in the hammock. Amen? Sometime God's fighting for us is to require certain aspects of faith, obedience, and action on our part, such as taking the rod, stretching it out over the waters, and then, guess what? You have to put one foot before the other. You have to step in. Many of us just envision those great walls of water like the Cecil B. DeMille's movie. You all remember that? I thought he did a pretty good job of representing it. And you see those walls of water stacked on both sides and the turmoil, all of the turmoil of that water, but it can't breach the path of righteousness and holiness. And so many of us just think about those walls collapsing on Pharaoh and the armies. But let me remind you, the children of Israel had to walk into that same situation, knowing that any moment, if those things collapsed, they were goners. It takes faith, amen? God's fighting for us, but it takes faith to walk into circumstances like that. God's going to want us many times to walk into those walls of water on each side. God is going to expect us to realize that in this course of deliverance, we might be cast into the fiery furnace. But He will deliver us. And there won't even be the smell of smoke upon our garments. Hallelujah. You're going to come out the other side, refined and pure. But it doesn't mean we're not going to have to go in. Not all of God's deliverances are without us having to experience great conflict with fear and doubt, such as John the Baptist, such as the disciples when they were in fear and cried out in the midst of the sea when the storm was about to overtake them. Don't let your fears and don't let these times of doubt cause you to cave in. You got to finish this race, praise God. Stand, and having done all, stand, amen? Because God's going to deliver you. Doesn't look like it, but He's going to deliver you. Doesn't feel like it, He's going to deliver you, praise God. Whatever the situation might be. When Daniel was cast into the lion's pit. Oh, Daniel, was your God able? He's well able, praise God. And then the skeptics say, well, you know, what happened was that somehow the lions got fed accidentally before Daniel was thrown in there. And after, you know, they've digested a large dinner, you know, they're very docile, and so that was the deliverance. If that's the case, then why, when they threw the guards in, did they immediately get ripped to shreds and eaten? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When he comes to your door, tell him, nah, you're not welcome here, praise God. Resist him and he will flee from you, the Bible says. How do you resist him? You don't stand up and say, I'm going to whip you, lion. You stand up and say, you're already whipped, lion. Amen. Amen? You ran into the Lion of Judah and he ate your lunch, man. You're a defeated foe. I am not going to get suckered into trying to fight you. I'm going to step back and let God fight for me. Hallelujah. A heart of rest and peace and faith in knowing God's will to deliver us. So here's Asa, the great king. And we realize that as he's coming in to this role in chapter 15, there's a great principle that we need to get a hold of. The Spirit of God came upon the prophet Azariah, and he speaks this prophecy, one that we're all very familiar with, but let's let it speak into our spirit this morning. The Lord is with you while you be with him. Don't you like that? Don't look to the right hand or to the left, but in all of your ways acknowledge God and he will direct your path. Hallelujah. The Lord is with you while you're trusting him. Now, if you begin to trust in your own strength, you begin to trust in the broken reed of your abilities, of your savings, of your own wisdom and knowledge, of your networking and who you know, and that you're capable of little songs and dances, and you've always got it over other people and been able to get your will accomplished through one method or another, then God will let you fight the battle. You better lay down all of your natural resources that you've depended on too often and let God fight for you. And if you'll be with him, he'll be with you. Hallelujah. God never forsakes us. We forsake him. And so the prophet speaks, and it's such a beautiful message to us. The Lord will be with you while you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. If you seek him, now let's put some more Bible in there. If you seek him with, you shall find him. Do you know that we need to seek him? And this is so hard to do, but it's so important that we learn this lesson. We need to seek him as diligently before the trials, like we seek him in the trials. If you do, many of the trials will be averted because the trial is to get you to seek him and trust him. Amen? So if we can do it without the trial, we can get around the trials. Because all God wants is for you to trust him. For everything. God helps those that help themselves. That's a great American comment. The Bible comment is God helps those that can't help themselves. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Paul said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. I like how Paul, and we won't get distracted in that, but Paul in Corinthians, when he's sitting there, and we know that here he is, their father in the faith, he's poured his life out for them, and they're showing all their attention and honor to other apostles. A man's not without honor except in his own country. And so Paul says, now, if we're going to get into a bragging contest, Now, God forbid that I would do this. But if I ever did, here's my credentials. Paul's a man just like you and I. Paul was frustrated with these Corinthians. Paul was, hey, you guys need to step back and realize who I am, is what he was saying to them. And start putting your perceptions back in perspective. Because I've got a word from the throne for you, praise God. And how many times do we go out and then start to trust in our own resume? Well, praise God, you know, I remember back here and I was able and I cast out these demons over here and I raised the dead over here and I laid hands on these people and I've had revelations and visions and used in words of knowledge and words of wisdom and all of the gifts of the Spirit and I've did all of these things. Yeah, but now we're facing something else and the reality is God did all of that and unless He does this, you're going down. Amen. Our trust is in God. Our hope is in God. He's our deliverer. And while we seek Him, He then will be found of us. If we forsake Him, He will forsake us. He goes on in verse 3 and says, now for a long season Israel had been without the true God. I want to tell you something. For a long season America has been without the true God. But you know, there's a revival in this country right now. We're experiencing it here. It's being experienced in the country right now. A great revival. It's not poured out onto the streets yet. Such as on the day of Pentecost. There was the inner working. Judgment begins where? In the house of the Lord. God purifies His church and gets us to clean our act up. To start making souls our priority. To start making holiness our priority. To start making love one for another our priority. To seek first the kingdom is our priority. And when the judgment of God cleanses us and we then begin to pour out onto the streets, we see the benefits of revival, of a revived church. I was watching David Jeremiah yesterday and just that same spirit and hearing, it was a blessing to hear him teaching and that same spirit, the same thing being said that we've been hearing from the Word of God here. Same message. Little different. He's not charismatic. He's not making that emphasis as we would. He gives credit to God. He gives credit to God for healing him. So he knows God heals. He got healed of cancer himself. Some of you probably prayed for him. These days are coming upon us. If the footman calls us to look to the left hand and to the right, if what you're facing now is overwhelming you, then let's take this opportunity to come back and begin to seek God. Amen? To saturate ourselves with the Word of God. What's a good starting place? It can be done instantaneously. The building up of our spirit man. The repentance must be instantaneous. Amen? You don't work gradually into repentance. You repent and then the building up of our faith, the consequences of that repentance, the sanctification can become a process. It's accelerated by the time we spend with God and the amount of scripture we put into our spirit man. You want to get out quicker? Pray more. You want to get out quicker? Talk less, listen more. Hear what God's got to say to you. You want to get out more quickly? In proportion to your obedience will be your deliverance. And so God's speaking to us, and he says this whole thing to Asa here. And then he says, you've been without the true God, and you've been without a teaching priest and without law. Many of us that are in bondage to fear, to unbelief, let me just throw this out real quick. As we look at sin in our lives, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. All unrighteousness is. Sin is transgression. Okay. So if we find ourselves in that situation, any of those things that we just quoted, and we're under sin's power because of these decisions, we now find ourselves back under the power of law. If you resent the law, you're going to stay in bondage. But if you love the law and see it for what it is perfect and just and good, amen? The law converts the soul. You see what he's saying right here in this passage. They've been without a teaching priest and without law. There hasn't been anyone that has set the course and said, look, we're off course. This thing's got to come back. Here's what the law says. Let's obey the law. Well, I don't want to put myself under the law. You better put yourself back under the law if you're lawless. Amen? If you're not walking in the Spirit. Well, I am walking in the Spirit. Where's the fruit? Where's the works of righteousness? If we're not living up to that standard, then we need to go back to the law and find out, where am I missing it? Let me go back into the Word of God. What's God requiring of me? What's He want me to do at this moment? And submit myself back to that, which brings then the illumination and the deliverance called obedience. And we're hearing the word of the Lord. We don't have this excuse. We are not without a teaching priest and without the law. And so he's speaking to them and he's saying, listen, when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord, the God of Israel sought him, and he was found of them. In their trouble, did turn unto the Lord, and sought him, and he was found of them, praise God. And many of us have been turning to the Lord and realizing, hey, we've got to step it up. And I'm not talking about the fact that we've been living in sin or even to an imbalance of carnality in our lives. We're not talking about that. We're talking about preparing for the day to come. So we're not talking about getting all discouraged and thinking, man, you know, am I living, you know, to the place where I'm so out of touch with what God's doing and disobedient. We're not talking about that. We all have things in our lives that have to be dealt with. I'm talking about, are we seeing what needs to be done in our lives to prepare us for the day that's coming? And more importantly, should Jesus tarry, what about our children and our children's children? Do you know if Jesus tarries what kind of world your grandchildren are going to be living in? Can you imagine? I can't. How can God... we're already in a place where men are boasting about their ability to clone and they're looking for that gene that can eventually take us to eternal life and what are our children and our children's children going to grow up under? If we become holy, they will become more holy. As we let our guard down and we become more worldly and more secularized and have more liberties and we have more, arguments against disputable matters, then our next generation will be more carnal than we are and less committed to God than we are. You're the pivot point right now. You're the make it or break it for our kids and our grandkids. Whatever we do right here will set the course of this community of believers. And I believe a great effect on much of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, God forbid that I would boast. But if I did... We've got some of the greatest churches in the world today inviting us to come and speak there. What Ron and Tony were able to do in Africa and opened up doors that we were able to speak in the largest, most influential churches in those countries. Seriously? And we realize that what God is doing here in our midst, and I'm saying all that to say this, this word that's coming to you, don't you think for a moment that it stays within these walls and the few hundred people that are here? That what God has done through you and your faithfulness to pray, to support, has taken this message into a great part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And the reality is, we're living in a day when there are not a lot of teaching priests that are proclaiming this message as you're hearing it and have been hearing it. And believe it or not, God has His hand upon this place, and He's raising up some of you and some of your children and some of your grandchildren to be these last day prophets to a church that's in need of a message from a godly priest, a godly prophet in the hour that we're coming into. Your little liberties and disputable matters that you want a taste of, that's robbing us of what God intends us to be, has greater consequences than you could ever imagine. And I encourage you to get before God and look a little bit outside of us four and no more and see what God has used us in the past. You see, a lot of us have forgot this stuff. We sit here and we come to fellowship and we're the same folks and whatever. I hate to even speak of these things, but just to show you what I'm talking about. It's not all the time, but on four different occasions, God put his hand on us, took us to a place as purely as a New Testament prophet could ever be placed in, to minister his word, at one time to save a whole denomination in India. Not at the General Council, a word come in and spoken. The one thing you'll notice about the New Testament prophets, they would show up and you'd never see them again. And in Africa, and once in California, and I'm saying all of that for us to put into perspective. Dear God, never for a moment thinking that it's anything that a man has done or we even as a group have done. It's what God has done through us. We're so insignificant in the natural. That's who God uses. He doesn't use the movie stars and the famous. We've got some people in here that for years have been chomping at the bit to go into ministry. I want to get into the ministry. I feel called. I got to get into the ministry. It's not time yet, but the time is coming, praise God. That call isn't, the scripture makes it very, very clear. It's not without repentance. You can't get out of the call of God. If God's called you, he's going to use you, praise God. But we think we know and we want to go make all of these provisions and we're sitting there and whatever. If God only uses you for one trip, if God uses you as a prophet and one time he takes you and puts you in a place to drop a word, you've fulfilled eternally your calling, praise God. We're blessed here. We are blessed to have one another, to have people that have hearts for the kingdom of God, that are forsaken. We have people in here, I won't surely mention any names, but we have people in here that have turned down hundreds of thousands of dollars a year and some more to relocate in other places in their jobs, and would not leave this place because of DT, because of wanting their children to be raised up like they were, praise God. Some of you'd say, I'd be out of here in a heartbeat, man. And it's more than one man that's done that. They see the vision. They see the treasure. Let's not take and count common what we have here. See it for the treasure that it is. And when your kids finally graduate, boy, I got that over. Glad of that, praise God. You ought to be just as involved in every activity as when your kids were involved in it. My kids are out. I'm free now, man. Free to not support the other kids who are being raised up, who may be these prophets that we're talking about. I'm through. I don't have, I'm done with that. Yeah, let's just go ahead and be free of it. And maybe the lives of some of these young people like Joey and for Kevin and for Tony, maybe we can lose some more. Aren't you thankful for God that those young men are here in our midst right now? Why? Because we had a vision, praise God, and nobody deviated from it. There's people in here right now that have given to DT for 30 years, systematically, who have never had a child in. God will fight for us if we'll seek Him, praise God. God will meet all of those needs according to His riches in glory. And it says then, when they sought Him, He was found of them, praise God. What a precious, precious truth this is for you and I in doing all of our seeking. Over in chapter 16, which is where we were headed. We see the prophet having given these words of encouragement to Asa. And to make sure, no matter what happens, Asa, if you'll seek Him, He will be found of you. If you are with Him, He will be with you. We get down into chapter 16 and we see the pressure coming upon the covenant people. Baasha with the Assyrians are putting pressure on them. And verse 7 of the 16th chapter says that at that time, Hanani, the prophet, came. And as that pressure was coming upon Asa, he began to make allegiances and allies with the nations. We are what we are under pressure. We are not the people who we truly are when everything's going well. You only know what you are under pressure. Yeah, well, I only just shoot my mouth up and blow up when I'm under pressure. Other than that, I'm a great guy, man. No, that's what you are. I trust God for everything as long as I'm able to provide it. God's my source as long as the paycheck's coming in. I'm going to stand and trust God as long as it's not critical or hurts too much. You know, we look here and we see on two occasions now the prophet of God coming and speaking to the king. And many of us say, man, I wish there was just a real prophet today that could come and bring us a word. You have a more sure word. Amen. Amen? You know what to do. And if you don't do it, it's... And so the guy compromises and he does exactly contrary to what the word of God said to do under these circumstances. And the prophet comes to put him in remembrance. He's back under the law. And he said, because thou hast relied upon the king of Syria. Look at the next phrase, verse 7. And not relied on the Lord. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. It's going to come back and bite you. These decisions will come back and bite you. Satan will happily ally with you for a time. But he's a liar and the father of lies. Or as Jimmy Swaggart so aptly said, I was listening to him in Southern California and I don't remember any of his sermon. I just remember the title. All the devil's apples have worms. This world will offer you up some good stuff. And so he says, Syria has escaped out of your hand. Wonder if that's still going on. How long do the consequences last? Anybody heard the news in the last couple of weeks? How's Israel and Syria getting along? How are things going? And so we go on and we'll end with this for this morning. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? The trial that God had delivered them from, if you want to look at it in the natural, God had already delivered them out of something that was 10 times worse than what they're now facing. And in this trial, they turned to the flesh. The great trial, they stood in faith. And the small trial, they failed. How are you doing in the small ones today? How are we doing in the small decisions today? How much of our lives have we taken back? As, I can't remember if it was Ron or John that was teaching the other day, as long as we're ready to go into, you know, it's just a little city. It's just a little compromise. I'm only taking back 10% of my life. Because you relied on God, verse 8, He delivered them into your hands. And we'll end with these verses this morning. For the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are wholly toward Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you're going to have trials, hard times, wars. Let's go back to that 9th verse. The eyes of the Lord are here this morning looking over this congregation. He sees every one of your situations. He not only sees your situation, He's already been in it. He's already experienced what you're going through and won victory over it. Amen? Amen. And He's with you right now in the midst of yours. To bring you comfort. To comfort you with the same comfort wherewith He was comforted. He is now the intercessor at the right hand of God the Father, praying for you in the midst of your trial right now. He is a high priest that is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Can I share something with you this morning? Jesus' heart is breaking for you this morning. Jesus is weeping on your behalf. This morning, Jesus is touched with your fear. He is touched with your doubts. He is touched with your pain, your disease, your fear and torment. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Praise God. Just as sure as there is a God, He's here on your behalf this morning. And He makes this comment. His eyes. He is looking. He doesn't have to be wrestled down and somehow convinced. He is the one doing the looking for a person that'll trust Him, it says. I'm just looking for somebody that will acknowledge my presence and I will show myself strong on your behalf. Praise God. Father, we're looking for you this morning. Father, we come to you this morning. Our eyes are upon you. Lord, we are desperate for you this morning. Father, everything seems well with me right now, but dear God, my grandbabies, what they're going to have to face. Come among us and purify us and empower us to stand in this generation. Hallelujah. Lord, the pain in these bodies some here this morning that are racked with pain, the diseases, we come to you and ask you to deliver us this morning. Our eyes are upon you. Show yourself strong, Lord, on our behalf. God's going to fight for us. God's fighting for you. God's bigger than cancer. God's bigger than all of the herniated discs. God's is bigger than a severed spine, praise God. God is bigger than anxiety and fear and torment. I will fight for you. God's bigger than your unforgiveness. God's bigger than your fits of anger. God's bigger than your pride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you will seek me, you will be found of me. The Lord is with you while you be with him. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm not looking for anywhere else for comfort. You're my source. I'm not looking for anywhere else for healing. You're my source. Oh, hallelujah. Work it in us, Lord. Work it in us, Lord. Work it in us, Lord. Let's just take a moment and just praise him and thank him for his presence. Hallelujah. Make him big right now. Expect him to shake this place with his presence, to breathe upon us this morning and make us whole. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, masoma rahashata. Great and mighty is our God. Oh, mashallah, mashallah, baba. Oh, nasin delele kara shanda rara kaya siti. Oh, mande boshata. Show yourself strong. Show yourself strong, Lord, on behalf of those who are perfect towards you. Hallelujah. Oh, mashamama tatasa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Show yourself strong on our behalf. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody next to you and say, our faith is the victory. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.